You are listening to Bruin Radio, a 30-minute student-focused show from Brookings Harbor High School on the Wild Rivers Coast. We are happy to broadcast on KCIWLP in Brookings, Oregon on 100.7 FM. This is Bruin News with Miranda Wolfers.
And Ravona Jackson Piscatella McFarland. The Isaiah Festival and the Memorial Day weekend were a blast for the students of the Brookings Harbor High School. The weather was great and the parade was outstanding. Here on our district, we had the Isaiah Quilt Show put on by the Isaiah Quilters Guild, as well as the Isaiah Festival Art Show organized by the Manly Arts Center. Many of our students won some amazing awards. Check out the Curry Coastal Palette to see what our students won.
The gastroenteritis outbreak remains a concern at the Brookings Harbor School District. Although it is not confirmed by tests, the symptoms reported by most people who are ill are consistent with norovirus outbreak and include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and fever. This type of gastroenteritis, sometimes called stomach flu, is highly contagious and most common in winter or spring. This type of ailment can be spread by person-to-person or person-to-object transmission in shared spaces, often through simple food utensils, cups, phones, or keyboards. Luckily, the outbreak has not yet required any changes in classes, programs, events, or activities. There are about 20 million cases of norovirus-caused acute gastroenteritis in the United States each year, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They are often found in schools, nursing homes, and hospitals, or other places where many people reside in close quarters. Frequent hand washing with soap and water is a good preventative measure. Staff at the three Brookings schools are working to stop this outbreak. Per direction of the Curry County Public Health Department, the schools can no longer accept homemade food or baked goods for the remainder of the school year. Purchased and sealed items from a store are acceptable for classroom snacks. Please do not hesitate to contact your school office or child's teacher if you have questions. Our superintendent, Sean Gallagher, was quoted to say, "The health and safety of our students, faculty, and staff is our top priority. We thank parents for their cooperation in keeping sick kids at home and following the new snack procedures."
The class of 2017 seniors graduate on the 10th of June, which is this Saturday. If you'd like to attend, come early and park smart. Parking fills up very quickly at the Elmer Bankus Field. Please remember that tobacco products and all smoking are prohibited on school property. Pets and animals that are not service animals are also prohibited at our district. Graduating seniors, you must attend the walking practice coming up this Friday on the 9th of June, starting at 9 a.m. Contact the main office for more details. Be advised that the final week of school next week is finals week, and it has a unique final schedule. Stop by the main office or ask a teacher to find out what the schedule will look like. This is Dane Tittman here with social studies teacher Kelly Garvin. Ms. Garvin, could you tell me a little bit about what we're about to hear from these students?
You're about to hear about a case study that they did regarding three construction projects in the Amazon rainforest and their understanding of the benefits and negative effects of those projects that would be built there.
What would you say students learn from this assignment?
First, we use GIS maps, geographic information systems. So they were able to do some of that geographic inquiry, and it's really the first time they've used mapping systems and looking at how can I use geography to draw from geography in order to have evidence as well beyond just your regular typical research. And then they kind of looked at the lay of the land, how countries have to interact with one another internationally over some issues, and some of these road projects were good examples of that.
Well, that's outstanding. Ms. Garvin, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having us.
I am Savannah Lewis, and my partner is Annika Nelson, and together we made a proposal to the Brazilian government on the construction of the Pocapa Cruzeiro do Sol Road. This was part of our world history class with Ms. Garvin. The road would plow through a large amount of the Amazon forest, The Amazon basin is home to the greatest diversity of wildlife on the planet, holding many biodiverse species that have not been discovered anywhere else. Within the basin lie the small villages of Pucallpa and Cruzeiro do Sul. These communities are heavily isolated and lack convenient modes of transportation between one another. Subsequently, a vexed proposition has been developed to connect them with a road. However, the construction of the Pucallpa-Cruzeiro do Sul road would be profoundly ruinous to the already feeble Amazonian ecosystem, as it would endanger the vastly diverse species of plants and animals, along with the many isolated indigenous tribes which reside within it.
So do you both actually agree with the anti-road stance?
Yes, we do.
Very much so.
We wrote this whole thing very passionately. Very passionately.
Tell me why you felt this way about the road construction plan.
Well, the road would be beneficial to the people of the small villages if they were more interested in trade and access to things like that rather than
a temporary economy boost
rather than the well-being of the earth and
preserving
the
ecosystem.
Yes.
And we are joined by
Allison
and Chavez.
We had the stance for the road,
even though it's not really what we think.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't agree with I don't actually agree with the road, but I had to do the assignment for it, so
She was challenging herself.
And may I ask, why don't you agree with the road?
Because I don't think that we should build a road and destroy this forest that's there just for our own selfish reasons.
Yeah, not only that, it would endanger the indigenous tribes there as well as the wildlife that inhabits that area. So I'm against the road. I wrote it against the road. Thank you.
Since Pucallpa trades internationally, people of Cruzeiro do Sul would have an opportunity to participate and contribute their products of rubber, coffee beans, cassava, and rice, meaning they'd be able to trade with more countries internationally because they don't have that opportunity in their small little town. But if this road were built, they would be able to transport their goods to Pucallpa and branch out their trade.
The whole world would be impacted because of so many reasons, but with the road being built, the trees would be knocked down, the mahogany variety would be illegally logged, and that's taking more of the forest out. And there's just, it would be knocked down for our consumerism, and then it would be probable that they would put livestock grazing areas in the spots where they logged.
Ms. Chavez, you mentioned indigenous peoples earlier. Mm-hmm. Do you think indigenous peoples want this road?
They have no say. They have no... The people want to continue
that
without even... It's so frustrating. People, they want to do this, plow through their homes, endangering their lives without their consent.
I'll ask you both this question, but I'll ask Allison first. When you were writing for something that you're personally against, what was that like? What was it like trying to argue for something that you don't agree with?
Well, it was definitely frustrating because...
Frustrating.
I mean, I guess I kind of saw the side of why they want to build this road because I like to keep an open mind with this kind of stuff, but it was a bit frustrating to try to argue something that I personally would not argue for. So if I had the chance, I don't want someone using my work that I made to argue for building this road when that's not really what I'm for. I want to be against it.
Mm. Yeah, it's rather difficult to try and work at something you're against. Especially what Allison was saying, it's good to keep an open mind and explore both sides and figure out, hey, are you really on this side or are you really on that side? I found out I'm against the road. I don't like the risks that it could take or possible damages that it could occur to the rainforest. It was interesting learning a little about each side and figuring out which side are you on.
Will you destroy your paper after you turn it in?
Probably not, because I do want people not to just be closed-minded and say,
hey, there's no benefits of this road. There are benefits of the road. I want them to make their own decision with it. I would probably, you know, keep it up and not destroy it.
And they did put in the road, so I guess you do have to see the positives out of
it. Yeah, we found out after our project that the road was already constructed.
How does that feel?
We did a bunch of work for nothing.
Yeah, we were so passionate about it. We were like, yes. And then we found out it was,
yeah, and all of the negative facts that we found are going on right now. And it's out of our hands.
Let's do this. I'll go around, starting with Annika. Theoretically, what would it take for you to be okay with a road? What would have to change? Or what would have to be different for you to be okay with the road?
Maybe a change of location where it would be less harmful.
Change of location. So don't put it here through this path. Okay. Isn't the jungle everywhere?
I mean, just don't build a road there. There can be roads anywhere else. The rainforest is, like I said, the most biodiverse area on the planet, the Amazonian rainforest, and it's not worth it.
What would it take to make you happy with a road?
Well, with the road being built, 40 miles off of the road would be potentially destroying. So it would take, I think that...
You want to think about it?
It's just not going to make you happy.
No, it's not going to make me happy.
Okay. Though there are some favorable aspects to the construction of the Pucallpa Cruzeiro de Sol Road, all of the guaranteed destruction it would cause locally and even globally outweighs any advantageous circumstances that would come from it. Currently, the human footprint in the towns of Pucallpa and Cruzeiro de Sol is larger than any of their surrounding area. But if the road were to become a definite, this will likely spread into the 141.85 miles of forest that the road will likely run through. One road and an economic growth will never be worth the irreplaceable lives of thousands of unique and wonderful Amazonian species of plants and animals, plus the harmful disruption to solitary native tribes.
So, what would it take to make me? Nothing.
Nothing is an answer. Nothing is an answer. Okay. Allison?
I would be in the same boat with Savannah. I don't think anything would make me for this road, unless, you know, they magically found some way to build it around the forest. But with the road, they're going to be destroying forests. Not only that, they're going to be providing, you know, paths for poachers and for animal trappers and for people who want to do illegal logging and essentially destroy the forest more, and there's nothing they could really do to stop that except for, you know, not provide that system for them to go through.
I'm never before this road. I mean, the only way I'll be able to tolerate it is if I know, like, that they have strict laws with poaching and illegal logging and make sure that it's not destroying any more forest than it already has. I'd want it to be some, like, I don't know how to word that. I always struggle with wording.
Wording stuff.
Oh dear. Oh god. That's okay. Oh no. You're gonna edit that.
I'm gonna have to. Yeah.
But I don't think I could be for the road unless they made sure that the animals and the ecosystem around it was protected.
So it sounds like we're all anti-roads. Yes. However, the road was already built.
Yes, and the destruction is going on right now. Every second, a football field of rainforest is knocked down. To make what? To get palm oil, to make makeup products, to support our consumerism, especially in America. And it's horrible.
It took thousands of years for that rainforest to grow and become what it is today, so it makes me sad knowing that we're destroying such an environment, such an ecosystem that cannot just be recreated so simply.
The current rate of damage to the environment through deforestation could decrease the global GDP or gross domestic product by around 7% by the year 2050. So that's kind of a view at the economic impact of what this road and others like it are doing, since there's so much deforestation that comes with it. We
There's no way to turn that around unless you stop what you're doing.
Let's try to end this with a positive of some kind. What can we do? Can we educate ourselves about like products that have palm oil and stop buying them?
Yeah, we have this answer.
Okay.
Well, although humans cannot reverse actions such as these, there are some things that can be done. First, discontinue the massacre of millions of trees and the ecosystems they hold. Second, roads are not the only option. According to Bruce Babbitt, a member of the board of directors of the Amazon Conservation Association, the Ucali River is navigable all the way to Pucallpa for boats or heavy machinery. So maximizing the port infrastructure through the Amazon River systems would be a possible and less harmful alternative. Finally, shifting the human population to a plant-based diet. This would lower the need for land to be cleared for raising livestock.
So basically be vegetarian. And
yes.
Okay.
We're both vegetarians, so we have time for you.
So, some positives from the pro-road side. Like the human positives, people get easier access to health care. You know, when a woman's having pregnancy difficulties, she can get to the hospital.
Well, they would have better health care because, you know, there's bigger hospitals in Crucero, and they'd have easier access to better medical and better education, pretty much better everything because that city is bigger. And not only that, they'd be able to socialize with people in the other town because, you know, they're kind of stuck in their tiny town, and in a small town, everyone knows everyone, so getting out of that might be socially beneficial to them.
It connects them. It connects the towns and the towns surrounding them. I mean, it also helps with their trading goods, and it helps farmers and tradesmen by allowing them an easier way to transport all of their products and stuff to Pucallpa. So even though it's just one road and back, that still benefits all the surrounding towns around them.
And this was the students of Kelly Garvin's World History class with...
Annika,
Savannah,
Allison,
Chavez.
Thank you. I'm here with two students of Kelly Garvin's World History class, and they are...
Zachary Carlson.
And?
Nathaniel Barnard.
And what was your assignment that you worked on?
The assignment was to discuss a mine that's being built in the Amazon rainforest and the effects of constructing the mine.
What kind of a mine was it?
It's a iron mine, and it's supposed to produce the most iron... out of any iron mine there is right now.
Now, is that in Brazil or is that in the whole world?
That's in the world.
Is this mine going to be run by the government or a private company?
It's a private company called Vale, and they are currently the largest mining company in the world.
And Mr. Barnard, what are some of the benefits of this mine, this iron mine?
Well, like any sort of infrastructure development, you're going to have a short-term boost to job creation and then also the slightly less long-term jobs that are available within the area at the mine, along with, of course, the great impact of more iron into the economy for Brazil, who's currently facing a recession.
So there's some benefits. What are some of the negatives of building this mine?
Leaving it in the hands of a private company, which creates some problems because Vale has had operations like this before that haven't gone well.
In what way?
I believe back in 2012, they had one of their dams for one of their mines actually fall apart and send thousands of gallons of water down the river, and it destroyed a couple towns and killed about 30 people, actually, and is now considered to be one of the worst environmental disasters in Brazil's history. So I don't believe that Vale is a responsible company to be put in charge of such a large development due to their track record with these types of developments. They have a history beyond just that dam of mistreating the area they're around, especially with indigenous populations, which are very common around the Amazonian region. which creates a big problem between the company, the government, and those indigenous peoples.
Zach, were you for or against the construction of this mine?
I was against the construction of the mine. It caused too much environmental damage, and it was just left in the hands of a company that was... They were voted the corporation with the most contempt for the environment and human rights.
And who did that? Who made that vote? Where'd that come from?
It's just the public.
And who took this vote?
The public eye. They like do surveys.
Oh, it's an organization called the Public Eye.
Called the Public Eye.
Oh, interesting. And Mr. Barnard, are you for or against the construction of this mine?
Well, I started out this project being pretty much totally for, because what could be bad about injecting a huge boost to GDP into Brazil's economy after such a hard recession? But as I began to look into the company going out with the project, I began to further the position that under the current circumstances, this mine should not be built. However, I do think that with this vein of iron being as high quality as it is, that it should definitely be capitalized upon. However, I don't think that this company under these circumstances should be doing it.
What would it take, Zach, to make you happy with the idea of this mine?
Well, it would have to come from a different mining company, different mining companies that have better reputation, and they work more with the environment than Vale does, as Vale is really focused on making money, profit out of their mines, and these companies are more interested in getting the iron out while still maintaining the environment.
Mr. Barnard, what would it take to make you happy?
I'd say that a completely different company would be necessary. I know that there are a few that have the ISO certification for environmental safety.
Like, what is ISO?
It's a company that offers certifications like in safety. Environmental safety is one of the sections they do it in. For example, one of these is a Brazil-based mining company known as CBMM. They have some great practices along with their certification that reuses a lot of water and saves energy in the process.
All right, and these were two students of Kelly Garvin's World History class. They were...
Zachary Carlson.
And...
Nathaniel Barnard.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Kelly Garvin is the only teacher offering some new and interesting classes at Brookings Harbor High School, and we'll describe them for you so you know about the exciting opportunities we're offering.
We start off heavy. The Weight Training 1 class is rather self-explanatory. This class is designed for the beginning, intermediate, and advanced weightlifter, focusing on lifting techniques and safety and form, while integrating weight training into lifetime fitness. Active participation is required. Grades 10 through 12 are allowed because 9th grade PE is a prerequisite. The class earns you half of a PE credit. Keep lifting away, Bruins! Where in the World is an exciting new class offered by friend of the show, teacher Kelly Garvin. A brief explanation doesn't quite do the class justice, but we'll give it a try. In Where in the World, students utilize physical and cultural perspectives to examine people, places, and environments at local, regional, national, and international levels. Students describe the influence of geography on the events of the past and present with emphasis on contemporary issues. The class is open to all grades, has no prerequisites, and is a half-credit elective. There is so much more to it. Stop by the guidance department or contact Kelly Garvin to learn more.
Here's a class that's close to our roots, a class called Oregon and Local History.
This course is designed to get students involved in state and local history and issues. Students will understand what led to the creation of the state and community, who was involved in its creation, and what our part in sustaining the state and community is. Students will learn to break down and analyze history relevant to their own lives as community members of Brookings and residents of Oregon. Students will be involved in the preservation of both local and school history through artifacts, newspapers, public records, and much more. This is a very hands-on class with multiple field trips and local historical sites and museums. Local history will give students an overall picture of how the state and community fits into the larger context of United States history over time. The course will focus on the following aspects: geography, Native Americans, natural resources, and industries, historic people and places, significant historical events, legends and mysteries, and history of the schools, just to name a few. The class is open to all grades, has no prerequisites, and is a half-credit elective. Advanced Placement Human Geography is an advanced elective that introduces students to the systematic patterns and processes that shape human understanding, use, and alteration of Earth's surface. Students will employ spatial concepts and landscape analysis to analyze human social organization and its environmental consequences. Students will also learn about the methods and tools geographers use in science and practice. Major topics of study will include basic geography, population, cultural patterns and processes, political organization and space, agricultural and rural land use, industrialization and development, and cities and urban land use. This course grants students an entire elective credit, is only available by teacher recommendation, and is not open to freshmen. Hey, we're big fans of our Bruin Coffee Cave, aren't we?
Oh yeah.
There is actually a class now for the Coffee Cave. In this class, students will gain knowledge and skills necessary to own and operate their own business. The Coffee Cave business will be used as hands-on experience to expose students how to run, take inventory, customer service, banking, profit and loss, marketability, and other topics specific to entrepreneurship. The class is available first period only, is open to all high school grades, and earns a full elective credit. Welcome to Ravonna Sings!
City Choir is a new class open to all grades with no prerequisites. Anyone who wants to sing can take the class and earn a full fine arts credit.
Let us sing!
The final new class is called Let's Talk, Shall We? Open to all grades, it's an advanced elective that can earn you college credits with Oregon Institute of Technology because it's a speech class. This course will help you develop into a confident and effective public speaker. Students will be learning about different types of speeches, the dynamics of the speaker-listener interaction, and the power of varying speech techniques from organizational choices, the pause, and use of language. We are here with Ravonna Matthew Piscatella McFarland to tell us about the Walt Disney Dreamers Club, happening this Thursday after school in room 201.
Thank you very much. My club is basically about learning about different attractions and how they're designed from sketch and drawings and concept art to the building process of it, and how things are normally, you know, worked and contrast within the Walt Disney Company. So this Thursday after school, we'll be doing a club meeting, and we're not really going to teach you about exactly how the attraction, this certain attraction is being developed. We're just going to celebrate, have a little celebration. We're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout.
Sounds really exciting. What will you be discussing?
Our opinions on it, and what we think about the attraction, and what we think is cool, and what could be improved.
Do you intend to visit this ride over the summer, possibly for...
Oh, yeah. I've watched a ride video of it many, because every time you go on the attraction, it's randomized. So it's a different experience every time. So I'm definitely going to ride it numerous times.
It sounds exciting.
Oh, it's very exciting. Very, very exciting.
So what is the attraction like? Tell us a little bit about it.
It replaced the old Tower of Terror attraction at Disney's California Adventure. Same ride system, same ride vehicle, same building structures, different decorations, and different storyline.
And I understand, other than the Disney Dreamers Club, you have some other creative news for us.
Ah, yes, yes, indeed. I'm doing a horror film called Zazabee. We're starting production, but it's going to be in a week. We're going to start filming.
Tell us a little bit about the premise of the film.
The main premise, it's just about, well, whatever you're afraid of in the dark comes to life. Late September, a teaser trailer is going to be dropping, and then in December, it's going to premiere.
Where will you be filming?
Around town, because it's supposed to be based in a small town. And we'll be filming in the school for like sound stages when we have like certain parts that we can't have. We'll build sets, and we'll film it on there.
Well, Ravonna, thank you for coming and telling us about the Walt Disney Dreamers Club and the upcoming film Zazabee.
You are definitely welcome, and hopefully you won't pee yourself when you watch this film.
I certainly hope I won't. And that's it for this week's Bruin News.
You've just had the pleasure of tuning in to the Bruin Radio, a half-hour student-focused show coming to you from Brookings Harbor High School. If you'd like to get involved in the Bruin Radio,
be sure to contact Mr. Tipman, Mr. Cooper, or Mr. Merritt.
Today's episode of Bruin Radio made use of the original compositions of friend of the show, Derek Thomas Dew, also known as Touchless Remover on SoundCloud. We use the Wiki News Briefs jingle by Stephen Fruitsmock, Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 2.5 generic license. Our Bruin News intro and outro uses sounds from a public domain show about the history of radio, found among the Prelinger archives on archive.org.